see, there are some times you don't need to be a prophet over your enemy. You need to be a God over your enemy. When God was sending Moses to Pharaoh, he didn't send Moses to Pharaoh as a prophet. He sent Moses as a God. Because Pharaoh in his own way is a prophet. Because Pharaoh has the sayers, the soothsayers that can tell the future. So Pharaoh has his own seers. And because of that, God now made Moses a God and made Aaron a prophet. So Aaron was equal to the seers, thereby raising Moses' capability as a God. So who was the God of the Egyptians? It was actually Moses. Who says a thing and it comes to pass if it is not God? But we saw a dimension where God allowed a man to become a God over a territory. You didn't hear me. When God came with so much force in the book of Numbers, he came, he wanted to destroy the about 250 of them that rebelled against Moses. Moses and Aaron stood in the gap and said, will you destroy all these people because of one person? So a man has the power to stand in between the gap between man and God. You don't understand me. See, the problem is that you're not aware that there's something called a warfare. And even if you are aware, you don't know how to wage war against the warfare. There are some authors that need higher graces. There are some dimensions that you need. Jesus. I don't know if you are following me here. How many of you can carry this house? Do you know that two persons can carry this house? Ask me how. There are machines built naturally to lift houses. And one person will drive it. But all of us together cannot. You need to see God as a caterpillar and a bulldozer to do certain things.
Yes, sir.
You see, the thing is that you think it's by your strength. You have failed to understand that there is a man that can be. See, he said, who is sending me to them? He said, I am that I am. God does not have a better description to define himself. He now said, I am that I am. That means I am whatever you can conceive me to be. I don't know if they are hearing me. No, I want you to catch this revelation. See, there is no way he can define himself. That's why I said, tell him that I am that I am. So the magnitude of God you carry is determined by how much of him you can conceive in your mind. Oof. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if you are ready for this. See, today in your eyes you watch some people grow taller. I think I'm in the wrong place. When you are here, when you are here, now 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 you are here. I need that thing. Now you are here,
now you are here, now you are here, now you are here.
Now you are here, 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 now you are here.
Tremble, miracles is shown when you are here. When you are here, 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 demons tremble.
Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to appreciate him. Tell him thank you that you are here. Tell him thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, welcome your presence. Tell the Lord to have his way in your life. Tell the Holy Ghost to have his way in your life. Tell the Lord that His will be done in your life today. Tell Him. Tell Him.
Oh.
Tell Him, tell Him, tell Him, tell Him.
Oh.
I don't know what you are believing God for, but believe it that today you are going home with a solution.
Oh.
In Jesus' name. Sit like a king and a queen that you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. I want to open you up to something that I believe is going to change your entire life. But I'll ask you for one condition. And that condition is follow me. I want you to understand something. Whenever a man of God is teaching the scripture, what he's actually doing is that he's leading you into the scripture. Does it make sense? The Holy Ghost teaches. The man of God brings you into that scripture. The Holy Ghost teaches. Does that make sense? Can someone say the burning altar? Can someone say the burning altar? Genesis 8, verse 20. Now pay attention to what I'm going to teach you. As a Christian, there is a sacrifice that is demanded of every Christian. There are some persons that they started very well with the fire of God, with the fire of prayer, and after a while, they start getting weak in their place of prayer. I want to teach you about altars. I want you to understand something, that every single building you see on earth has an altar that backs it up. Does it make sense? Let me help you out. Most of you might be familiar with this. You might go and meet a prophet and you know that this man is a seer of God that sees things and knows things. And probably you went with your partner. Let's say, for example, you went with your wife. Then all of a sudden something happened. The moment the man of God sees you and is counseling you, he says, young man, the problem to your situation or the problem you are facing in your life is your wife. And you, the woman, you are like, how could that be me? Because if that was me, then how am I here? I mean, if I'm the cause of the problem, I mean, I should give the solution. I mean, if you know you are the cause of a problem, you should be able to know the solution to the problem. Is that correct? So I want us to come to this understanding now. Was it that the prophet was in error? No. The prophet might actually be in direct prophecy. He might actually be seeing clearly more than anything. But probably he lacked the understanding or the experience of what he ought to have done. Now, when a man can have a business, follow me before I start teaching. A man can have a business and the business seems to be working perfectly. Then the moment this man meets a woman and marries this woman, what happens is that two authors come together. The one that is weaker will fight against the one that is stronger will fight against the one that is weaker. If the man author was just 30% and the woman came with an author of 60%, that author will crumble the author of the man. The woman in question might not know there is an altar following her. That altar might not be laid by her, but can be laid by a generation that she's coming from. So there are altars that follows us into our generation. I don't know if you're hearing me. I don't know if you're following me. There is an altar. God in Himself is a living altar. God is an altar. Everything about, if you read the book of Revelation, talks mainly about altars. The altar in front of God. Everything about God is an altar. Remember, there is an altar where Jesus went and presented His blood. He was the high priest. He was the one that came and sacrificed His own blood. He was the one that presented the sacrifice. Altar. That is why some people tell you, let it be altar versus altar. But one thing we fail to understand is that we human beings can be a living altar. The Bible said that you are the temple of the Most High God. That means that God dwells in you. And if God dwells in you, then that means you are an altar. That's why the book of Romans 12 verse 2 said that, Romans 12 verse 1 said that, present yourself as a living sacrifice because you are altar. Does it make sense? So how much fire is left in your altar? It's not about God anoint me more. It's about the degree of the anointing you carry. At what degree is it burning? Anointing, but some people are operating in a different realm. Because of what? The altar. For example, let me use it in a better way. Something happened in the book of 1 Kings. And Elijah called every one of them. And he said, now we will know whose God is God. Call all the prophets of Baal. And they called every one of them. Now that God has been answering them before. But something is about to happen. And they called all their gods. They called everybody. They assembled. They said, give us two cows. Let me use cows. So we understand. Two bulls or cows. And he said, take one and slaughter. Let me take one. And he said, I'm going to give you time. Let it be ladies first. And the Baal did not know that they were actually calling them ladies because they started first. You understand? And while they were doing it, Elijah was not praying. Elijah already knew that he carries an altar. The Baal needed an altar. Elijah was a living altar. He said, in God, in whose presence I stand. Means that continually he is always in the presence of God. That means he is part of the altar of God. I don't know, Jesus. Follow me. Don't blink. If you blink, you might lose me. Just follow me. And they called their gods from morning to night. They started cutting themselves. Because one thing about altar needs blood. So they were cutting themselves and they were shouting. And Elijah came and said, call him more. He might be sleeping. Elijah was suggesting something that might have happened. Elijah was telling them, I believe that there is a God that you have. So call him, probably sleeping. Call him, probably he went on a journey. Call him more. And they tried and they were tired. It was not that that God could not answer. It was because an altar was standing, preventing another altar from speaking. You know, you don't understand. Oh no, Jesus. In their secret, they call that God, he sends fire. If it does not happen in the secret, they won't come to the open to call. Understand there? But what they failed to understand was an altar was standing with them. And that natural one-man altar was greater than their entire gods. If you read the book of Numbers, before Moses said, oh yeah, if you know you are for God, come this way. Then those that are not for God, that the earth will swallow. Before Moses said the earth will swallow, the earth opened and swallowed them and closed them up. God was in a hurry to swallow them. You see, the thing is that you don't know you are living a epistle. You don't know you are living altar. That is why a native altar can look at you and point hand at you and something will start happening to you. And he came and said, bring your sacrifice. He repaired the altar that they have destroyed. Brought the 12 stone and placed it. He said, take 4 jars. Full it water. Pour it. The first time. Do it again. The first time, God the Father. Second time, God the Son. Third time, the Holy Ghost. God, Elijah was telling us there is going to be a third person coming. The chief cornerstone. Jesus will come. And another kind of him that is still him, that is the cornerstone, will come. And I could imagine the people of Baal saying, without water, our own God did not answer. How will your own answer? And Elijah came. All he did was an altar communicating to another altar. Elijah did not provoke the altar of God. He was carrying the altar. Remember, he said, in God, in whom present I stand. That means that he operates on earth whereas he is in heaven. Oh, no. You don't get me. He said that cast your mind on things above and not the things that are below. That means you must learn to see things from the realm where God sees it. Does that make sense? And before he was done speaking, he said, show them that. You know, he did something that Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, Father, do this that they might believe. He said the same thing there. He was prophesying what Jesus would do. And the moment he said, the fire came and consumed all of them. Before the Bible said, gather all of them because they need to be killed. Because I just summarized you what an altar is. What is an altar? An altar is a place of sacrifice. An altar is what? A place of sacrifice between the realms of the spirit and the realms of the physical. When God created man in his own image, automatically God gave something to man. He gave man access to be on earth and access to access the realm of the spirit. That is why man became a living soul. Does that make sense? You know, Adam was born in the womb of encounter. What is an encounter? The biggest encounter anybody, if I tell you now what is an encounter, you say the biggest of encounter I want is to see Christ. Now, Adam was born in the midst of God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Adam was having koinonia, fellowship with them. So, Adam was an altar on its own. If Adam was not an altar, who taught Cain and Abel how to build an altar and make sacrifice? Hello, follow me. I don't want to lose you. Genesis 8:20, verse 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Give me NLT, please. Always give me NLT first. Then Noah built an altar of the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offering. Now listen. And he sacrificed as burnt offering the animals and the birds that had been approved by that purpose. Now he built an altar for who? For God. Is that correct? Because that time he has not understood that he himself, remember, it's not about building the altar, it's about who actually is building the altar. Remember what God told Moses? He said, make sure that the tabernacle is exactly as I've shown you, according to what you have seen. That means Moses had what they call the photographic memory for him to be able to see it once and know how it works. Does that make sense? Now, when we talk about altar, we talk about four things. So you can write this down. The altar itself, the sacrifice, the fire, and then God. When you talk about what? Altar. You talk about the altar. Now, the altar is a place. Keep this in mind. Whenever you hear altar, think of a place. That is why Abraham will do one particular thing and come here and put an altar. Joseph will have an encounter with God. Jacob will have an encounter with God. Put a stone as an altar. So altar is a place, is a point of meeting between what? Between the realms of the spirit and the realms of the physical. Now we know that even God cannot operate on earth until someone invites him. Not that if he operates you will kill him. No. But God is a God of principle. He laid down a principle. The Bible said that to the earth has he given to the and to the earth has he given to the sons of men. Does that make sense? So that means earth in itself is governed by man. That is why even after you go to heaven, you still come back to earth. Are you lost? The Bible said there will be a new earth. So you are not living the earth. And the Bible said that he will rule with us. So God will come to us. Does it make sense? I have Bible students here, but I think we have a man of God in our midst. Can we take time to honor whom honor is due? Pastor Kingsley Okuchukwu. Can we celebrate? From the Light City Church. That is. Can we have celebrated? I'm happy to see you. God bless you. You can have your wonderful seat. Now, an altar is a place of sacrifice. You must notice here, is a place, number one. Then what happened is that it's sacrifice. Then access points. And it's between the realms of the spirit and the realms of the physical. So whenever you hear an altar, just know that it's about something between physical and spiritual. And it's an access point. A place that you can access heaven. Let me show you, there are places where on this earth that if you go there, just passing through that place, you get healed without you knowing. There is a portal where angels ascend and descend. If you read your Bible, you understand this. We are getting there. So I'm going to be talking about the altar. Genesis 28 verse 12. Now listen to this. Genesis 28 verse 12. Pay attention to this. The topic is the burning altar. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to the heaven. And he saw the angel of God going up and down. Now go back to 10. Let's see what happened. 28 verse. Meanwhile, Jacob left and traveled towards Haran. Next verse. And sat on. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. Now, this is the place where Abraham opened an altar. But now, this is another generation. Jacob is another generation from the lineage of Abraham. Now, an altar that the father laid was still there. Now, so it's possible that a man can die and the altar will still be alive. That is the reason why Elisha could die and his bone could raise the dead. No, no, you don't understand. So, you understand? Overgrow it, mature. Father, my enemy will die this night. He will die, the altar will be there. Hello? Would you like any question? Does that make sense? Now, something happened. Next verse. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to the heaven. So that altar opened the portal from what? From the earth to the heaven. No. I don't understand. Now, it was not in everywhere, but that particular spot, there was an open heaven there that opened from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up, not coming down. That means these angels were already on earth. I don't know. You see, when Elijah needed to travel, when Elijah needed to leave this earth, he knew that there is a place where there is an altar that can take a man alive to heaven. I think I'm in the wrong class. No. Why he was traveling from city to city? What was he doing? Did the Bible say he was doing anything? He knew that there is an altar, there is a place that is open. That if a man comes in between this place, a man who has a track record like I have, that man will ascend to heaven alive. He knew it. He was traveling. When Jesus was about to ascend, he came to a place where there is an altar. And he began to ascend. Jesus. Tell your neighbor there is an altar. A man was crippled. And Jesus Christ said, what do you want? He said, whenever the angel comes and stir up the water, there is no one who can push me in. Because that place, that water is stirred, is an altar. So whenever you assess the altar of God, something must change in you. Tell your neighbor there is an altar. And the Bible said, and he saw the angels, not one. He saw the angels of the Lord. He saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. That means an angel will come and go up, and an angel will come down. That means there is a portal where there is a delivery of message. But we have a better covenant. A covenant in whom a man can carry the altar. A man can become an access point to God. That means that is the reason why you can meet a man of God and something about your life changes. It's because that man has an altar. Jesus. God help me with time. Pause the time for me, Lord. And let me bless your people. Are you getting blessed? Now let's go to Revelation 9 verse 13. I'm talking about altar here. God in himself is an altar. God in himself dwells in an altar. There's a mystery about God that is so sweet. The Bible said that Jesus was the Lamb. The Bible now says Jesus was the same high priest. Jesus was the Lamb. And Jesus was the high priest that sacrificed the Lamb and offered himself to God. And yet he's sitting at the right hand of God. That is why the Bible says a carnal man cannot understand the thing of the spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. That is the Trinity operating, an altar. The Bible said, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet and heard a voice. And I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold, what? That stands. No, you are not reading the Bible. That stands. So there is an altar in the presence of God. What altar is speaking for you? There is an altar. That is why the Bible said that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better thing than the blood of Abel. That means that the blood can speak. Remember, there is no sacrifice without the blood. But one thing about us is that Jesus has presented his own. And his own is ever alive. You know, in heaven, when did Jesus Christ die? It is today. Do you know? In heaven, there is no time. Because if God can be controlled by time, then God is no longer God. God is not in time. God is outside of time. Remember, he is the one that sees the end from the beginning. So God has seen the eternity that has no eternity end. You don't get me. Eternity has no ending, but God knows the end of eternity that has no end. Okay, more. That is why you can belittle my God, because you don't know how far he is. I am that I am. I am whatever your mind can conceive that I am. If God has a name, there will be a problem. Thank God in the book of Revelation, they say he has a name, but no one can pronounce it. What will you call God that is enough? Immortality is too small. Eternity creator, you are learning. He's beyond your own imagination. How can you don't even know tomorrow? Even prophets can see in parts. And the Bible said that same God, that his simple thinking, we call it deep revelation. The Bible said that he has deep things. And the Holy Ghost is the one that searches that deep thing. If God naturally is deep, how far his deepness? How deep will his deep be? If the simple thing of God is hard for, we call it deep, and it takes time to understand, then how deep is the deep things of God? It better you just agree, say you be sheep and follow. Stop doing all those prayers. If you bless me, I will serve you. If you don't bless, my brother, with or without you, God is God. Now you're locked to follow us now. Move, follow the go now. Follow me, they go. You know that song, ba? I don't even know how to sing it. Just follow. Stop making God, if you are really God, today you must bless me in the contract of 1 million. If you don't bless me, I will not serve you. My brother, you're on your own. A man that the absence of you is the completeness of him. The presence of you is still the completeness of him. The more you draw power from him, the more the power multiplies. In fact, in him is infinity. God wants you to draw from him. Do you understand this? God is the God of the universe, not the God of the earth. Earth is only one part of what he is God of. Even the galaxies in the world, you don't know all of them. And he is God of all of them. Oh, you think the stars don't have life? You think the moons don't have life? You think it's only one moon that you have on earth? You're not reading your Bible. I see them. They're like, Jesus, what? You don't know. You think there's only one moon? You know about stars. And I believe the science said the stars are bigger than the earth. Do you know how many there are? You can't even count them. What if I tell you the stars is the number of the stars is as much as you pack a sun like this? Okay, let's assume the number of stars is the number of the sun on the earth. Does it make sense? That God is God. Like, there's no, he doesn't compare. He is God. That is why he comes and calls himself, I am El Shaddai. He calls and says, I'm the banner. I'm the sufficient one. I'm the mighty one. I'm the omnipotent. I'm the omnipresence. He just wants you to, so you can grab part of him. And still you can't grab him. So the best name of God is that I am that I am. I am whatever your mind can conceive me to be. Can we go to Revelation 11 verse 1? I'm trying to show you that God has an altar. And God is an altar as well. Then I was given a measuring stick. And I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar. Go and measure what? The temple of God and the altar. And count the number of what? Worshippers. Do you know that if you pray at a particular spot frequently or consistently at a particular time, that place opens up and become an access point from earth to heaven? Consistency. The moment you stop, you begin to close it. If you're not someone that walks with God, do you know that living a holy life is an altar on itself? That's why when I sing a song, I said, my altar is calling you. There are things that goes to my mind when I say, my altar is calling you. There are things that I'm communicating, that are understanding that I'm having when I'm saying my altar.
It's calling you. My altar is calling you. Oh God, my yieldedness is calling you.
So a man who doesn't have an altar cannot call upon an altar. The thing is that most people believe that it's only in the church that can access altar. Yes, in the church, because there is a gathering every single time. There is an altar in the church. But you naturally, because of what Jesus has done, you are an altar. That's why God hates when a man or a woman fornicates. You defile his altar. You pollute that altar and you begin to make God to lose ways to assess you. See, whenever you use your body to do something sinful, you are sinning against God. You are cheating against God. You are leaving your first love and going to the one that rejected you from the beginning. That is how God sees it. Are we getting blessed? No spirit can operate on earth except a man invokes that spirit. That is why some people are in their family. You are in your family because there is no altar in your family. The altar that sustains you is the altar of the whoever that was the most prayerful person in the family. That is the altar that keeps carrying the whole family. And there are levels. Jesus, let me borrow somebody. Let me borrow you. Let me show you something here. Just follow me. Please come here. Now, altar has levels in the spirit. Is that correct? The level at which my altar burns is different from the level at which your altar burns. I'm going to teach you how to light your altar. Don't worry. Follow me. Now, if this young man has 1,000 issues, God forbid he doesn't have any issue, I reject that in the name of Jesus. But if, paraphrasing, for example, let's assume your name is not James. Is that correct? And there's nobody here that his name is James. Is that correct? So let me use the example with the name James. So let's assume that James here has 1,000 issues. And my altar, the fire that burns in my altar, is only 500%. And this young man have 1,000%, if there's anything like that. So if my altar encounters this young man's altar, the only thing my altar can do is to cure 500 issues of that altar. The 500 will still remain. That is why you can encounter a man of God. Only one part of your life will be solved. The other one will remain with you. It's not that he is not anointed. It's the level which that altar is burning. I'm teaching you here. Follow me. So if this young man has an issue with diabetes, and the altar I carry can destroy diabetes, and if this man had an issue with blood, and the altar I carry can destroy the issue of blood, if this young man has an issue with diarrhea, and the altar I carry does not cover diarrhea, if I enter him and come out, only two will die, one will remain. Does that make sense? So it is not that you are not anointed. It's the level at, like I tell you, it's not about the anointing, it's about the level and at what degree is your own anointing burning. When you hear Elijah, you hear fire. He's the one that brought out the dimension of God that can release fire through a man. When you hear Daniel, you hear wisdom. He's the one that introduced to us that there's a dimension of God that works with wisdom. When you hear King, you don't even measure Daniel's wisdom with King Solomon. Do you know why I don't like measuring them? Because King Solomon later deviated. The wisdom was so much for a man to handle. There are certain, see, if you sit down now and give yourself a reason not to believe in God, you will think out a reason not to believe in Him. So who help you to think yourself out of it? There are different kind of wisdom. Remember what the book of James say. There is the wisdom of God and there is the wisdom of the devil. Does that make sense? Are you following me? So an altar is needed for every Christian. Every Christian must have an altar. That is the same reason why you can marry a woman. All of a sudden you marry a woman, your finances is going high. But there is no peace in the family. It's the altar that she came with. Not through her, but through the lineage she's coming from. That's why someone can say you are like your mother every time you are nagging. It's an altar that has come through the mother's lineage. If you are here and you don't know the altars that are functioning in your family, you are making a mistake in life as a Christian. You must know the altars that are in your family. Then how do you wage war in the spirit? There are some villages now that if you enter, the altar of that village has confirmed all the young men. Once they get to 30, they become useless. If you struggle to break out, they will kill you or they will make you run mad. It's an altar. There are altars for the kindred, for each family. Then there are altars from the kindreds. Then there are altars from the villages. Then there are altars from the town. Then there are altars from the city. But until you come to the understanding that you have been raised far above all principalities and power, those altars will manipulate your life. Does it make sense? Are you following? Don't be afraid. I'm teaching you. Somebody told me, said, man of God, the Lord said I should come to your church and be a member in your church. But I don't want to come to your church. You always talk about prayer, prayer, prayer. The place where I am, they don't talk about prayer like that. They tell us 2-minute prayer is very okay. She was so bold and I respect her for that. She still has not come to be a member. He told me, God told her, go to Prophet Emmanuel Ministry and join the ministry. She met me, she told me, I think my wife knows her too. She told me, she said, see, God said I should come to your ministry, but I don't want to come. You always talk prayer, 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 prayer. Your own prayer will start by 1 hour. You pray 1 hour, you pray 2 hours, you pray 3 hours. Where I am, we pray 2-3 minutes, we are okay. And one funny thing about it is that the devil will allow you to be seeing small lights so that he will keep you that place. So small time, you want break, you say, ah, you better listen to what my God and that church, God will give you, devil will give you 100,000. You just smile, say, I tell you, small prayer, they work, it will keep you. And the devil will keep 900,000. Then whenever you want to go, he gives you back from your own 100,000. From your own 1 million, he gives another 100,000. Then you now stay. You call it answered prayer. You even come to the altar and give testimony of the 100,000. And the angel of the Lord is saying, no, God did not give 100,000. He gave 1 million. And you are saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Nimozinine, Anasi, hallelujah. Anasi, hallelujah, Jehovah. And the angels of the Lord are closing their eyes because there is more. I believe if you're a believer right now, you die now, you're entering heaven. That is correct. But when you get to heaven and they say there is more to your life, how would you feel? Oh, you think you will sit with Paul because you're in heaven? Please, you can sit down. Some people say, I'll go and meet Apostle Paul. No, to be honest with you, there are levels you can't climb. You know, it's not every. Sometimes we see visions that God is not allowing us to share to people yet. There are levels you can't accept. Some people say they want to be gate man. How can you think to be gate man in your father's house? Even the Bible said that the gate opened on its own accord. What are you doing as gate man? Okay, if rapture takes place, who are you opening the gate for? They say, it's okay, we'll make I don't enter hell. There are some people that are walking that they wish they are not walking. Are we getting blessed? Thank you, Jesus. Tell your neighbor the burning altar. The burning altar. Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 115, verse 16. I want to open you up to something. But I'm teaching you about altar yet. The Bible said that the heavens belongs to what? The Lord. But He has given the earth to what? To humanity. Give me King James. He said the heaven, even the heavens, I love this. The heaven, even the what? Heavens. Because there are heavens. There are heavens. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God and was taken away. The Bible didn't say to heaven, no. Now we put heaven. Then the Bible said that Elijah was taken by a whirlwind to heaven. The thing is, and Jesus Christ came and said that none has ascended to heaven except me. So where did they go to? There was a heaven. Let me help your theory. I know some of you, it might break your understanding, but just trust me on this. The time will come, God will reveal it to you. When Abraham died, Abraham's bosom was in hell. Oh, Jesus. Should I teach? Let me just leave it. Let me digress a bit. God, help me. Abraham was not worthy to enter heaven because he has not met the standard of God. It was the death of Jesus Christ that makes us righteous and powerful to access heaven. That is why when Jesus Christ came, he went and preached the gospel to the dead. Because Abraham were there. But they were not burning with the fire. Understand, there is a place they were kept. Are you following me? So when Jesus Christ died, that 3 days was not the 3 days of him fighting the devil. The devil is not a god. Devil was created. So it's not him and Jesus cannot come and be exchanging. That is why in the book of Revelation, it was not Jesus that fought. He said, Michael, go and beat this guy. And Michael did not struggle. He just, devil fell. Even the winds could not sustain devil in the air. It was the earth that helped him. He would have fought more than earth if they removed earth. But thank God, earth just grabbed him. And the Bible now says, woe unto men. Praise the Lord Jesus. Are you following me? So now what happened is that when they die, they go to the Abraham bosom, a place prepared for them. So those people that died without knowing who Jesus was, Jesus Christ went to the land of the dead and preached the gospel. I think it was Peter that said it. He preached the gospel to the land of the dead. And some persons believed him. When he was resurrected on the third day, even the Bible said that even people that were dead were seen among the living. Because that was when all of them ascended with him and they accessed heaven for the very first time. A man entered heaven. He was the first man to enter heaven. If you read the book of Psalms, somehow you will see like it looks like the angels were not even aware it was Jesus. It was him. It was Christ. And that's why the Bible says, I've forgotten the psalm. What was the psalm again? I can't remember the psalm. It said, oh, you gates, be lifted up. It's what? Psalm 24. Let's see. Psalm 24 verse what? Verse 1. Please check. Let's be certain. Which verse? Verse 6? Let's see verse 6, please. Next verse. It said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of Kings shall come in. So that means it is possible, in my own understanding, in my own opinion, what I understand is that, please go to NLT, it might be clear. Now, what I understand is that Jesus Christ came to heaven, and the angels locked the door. He couldn't access it, because they didn't know that a man can access, that someone has paid the price of man. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient gates. And let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? It was Jesus. Next verse. Oh, Jesus. They now ask, who is the King of Glory? The gates we are speaking. Who is the King of Glory you are talking about? And he said, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invisible in battle because he just defeated the devil. Next verse. Open up ancient gates. They are singing it again. Open up ancient doors and let the King of Glory enter. Yes, next verse. Who is the King of Glory? Are you seeing that? They don't understand who is there. Oh my God, Jesus. They want to know if the price of men has been paid. I'm digressing just to help you here. They want to know if the price has been fully paid before they can open the gates. And he said, the King of Heaven's army, he is the King of Glory. Next verse. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I give my life to you. Now, this is David now coming back to his senses. Sorry. Yeah, let me just use that word. This is David now coming back to himself. You know, when you read the book of Psalms, you see a part of David speaking, the part of Christ speaking, the part of God speaking. But all of them were written like David speaking to himself. Does it make sense? That's why sometimes when I'm prophesying, you see, it looks like I'm speaking as a first person. It is not intentional. It's how the message is delivered. Sometimes the Lord will say, tell him, I said. And I'll tell you, the Lord is saying. Sometimes the Lord will speak, I will anoint you, I will bless you. My job is to allow him to speak through me. Does that make sense? Thank you, Jesus. Now, what you need to know about authors. Number one is that an author is alive. I'm not going to explain these things. Number one, you know an author is alive. Because if an author is not alive, then how come an author has a statement in the spirit? An author can speak. If an author could not speak, how come they were sacrificing animals to forgive their sins? Even though the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that those things were not actually being forgiven. But God is just allowing it to be so for them. He's only trying to tell them that I'm going to send someone that will die for you once and for all. Does that make sense? Now, an author can speak. Of course, we know that. Because we saw that when Abel died, he spoke and everything. Now, number three is author can kill. Is that correct? We saw that in the book of 1 Kings 9, 23 to 40. The story I told you about the fire, the Elijah and the Baal. The fire came. And at the end of the day, those Baal people were killed. Does that make sense? Now, an author can save. Can we go to Proverbs 18, verse 10? An author can save. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run. What? The godly run to him and are safe. Now, listen, there's a grammatical error in this English. Does it make sense? There's a grammatical error somewhere. It said, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him. No. He was talking about a fortress. Is that correct? And now he's talking about running to him. And what happened to them? They are saved. The author of God can save you. Whenever you call Jesus, what you are actually doing is that you are pleading the blood of Jesus in the author of God. See, that blood is as fresh as anything can ever be. And if the day the blood of Jesus stops being fresh is the day mankind loses his salvation. Yeah, that's the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ will forever be in the author of the Father. It's a reminder that I have paid for these persons. God. I don't want to imagine if I can do such. Can you just die for me? Can you just die for me? Please. Let's just go somewhere. Just die for me now. You tell God that you are dying my debt. You will like life pass waiting. You start thinking of the shawarma, the barbecue fish. Some people say, I never even start for this world. Me, we just did 33. Anyaganya. Jesus died at the age of 33 and a half. What are you nyaling? Praise the Lord Jesus. An altar is alive. The blood of Jesus speaks for us. The number one is an altar. The number two is sacrifice. Now, give me a Bible scripture. What is sacrifice? It's an act of... Let me use the best word. It's an act of killing an animal. I don't want to use the word slaughtering. It's an act of killing an animal or a person or a possession as an offering or giving a possession as an offering to a deity. Sacrifice is an act of killing, slaughtering an animal or a person or sacrificing a possession to a deity. That's according to the dictionary, and I'll work with it. Now, that means that whenever you hear the word sacrifice, you can't sacrifice to a man. Stop saying that thing. After all I've done for you, that is stupid. Let's use the word. After all I've sacrificed for you. Just like someone will call me on the phone and say, man of God, me and my boyfriend is having an issue. I don't understand. How do you want me to come in? Not your husband. Not someone that is engaged. Just you are my boyfriend. I will speak. That is what you wasted your credit to call me. I was talking to my boyfriend. He left. Man of God, I want him back. Bring him back. There is nothing backing that relationship up. If there is a ring exchange, you have a place to stand. And it's a tiny place because the Bible didn't say engage her. The Bible says marry a wife. So So you can be Lord of the Ring. But let's take 1 minute and pray for those with the Lord of the Ring in the name of Jesus. May God deliver them in the name of Jesus. It shall not be your portion to hold a ring more than 2 years in the name of Jesus. 1 year and 6 months, you are married in the name of Jesus. It is not your destiny to hold ring. You can't be holding ring and all your mates are getting married. Reject that for yourself in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I say it's an act of what? Killing or slaughtering an animal. Now the first thing is slaughtering. Number two is an animal. Is that correct? So whenever there is a sacrifice, something is possible. Whenever there is a sacrifice, an animal is present. A sacrifice, something that has to bleed blood, must be present. An animal or a person. But in this case now, when you talk about sacrifice to God, it is you. You are the lamb that God will use for this sacrifice. I don't know if you're following me. Oh, Jesus. Can we go to Romans 12 verse 1? There's something the Bible said. It said, present yourself as what? As a living sacrifice. That means God wants you to be dead to be alive. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind He will find what? That means they are sacrifices that God will not accept. There are sacrifices God can't accept. My spiritual father said something. He said, I'm sorry if you bring me a cloak. You sew a senior suit or whatever, and you give to me, and I don't wear it. I'm sorry, don't be offended. It's just that I don't like it. Will you kill him? He doesn't like it. I can't use because I don't like something just to entice, just so you feel happy. I don't like it. That is why when you want to show something to a man of God, or you want to give something, you give something that is what? Tangible. Does that make sense? The blessing He will release to you will work for you. Don't feel bad about it. Does it make sense? Don't say you have 10,000 naira. Let me go and sew up and down for that man. No, 10,000 naira will sew a better clothes. He better use that 10,000 naira, buy 2 bars of yam and give it. He will eat it. Wisdom. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord Jesus. He said, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be living. That means be alive. Let that body be alive. But there's something here. And a holy sacrifice. The moment you see sacrifice, it means death. That means you should be walking, but let it be that you are. There's something they do in the land of Igbo. Sometimes they will say that this animal has been given to this idol. Now, the animal will not be killed, but the animal will be allowed to roam about. But the moment you kill that animal, you will bury that animal as a man. Is that how they do it? Yeah, you bury that animal as if it's a human being. Then you now still buy another animal to replace that animal. It's just. What is wrong with this man, animal? And now, when you see the animal, in your mind, you are supposed to know that animal is dead. You are seeing an animal walking in front of you. But the tradition expects you to know that this animal has been given to this idol. The thing is that the idol does not have hand to eat the animal. And you, if you are caught eating the animal, there is problem. Does that make sense? So now, God is saying, roam about this earth, but walk as someone who is dead. That deadness is talking about is dead to sin. A Christian is incapable of sinning. It's not your nature to sin. So if you find yourself sinning, go and repent. Ask God for mercy. For you to sit down, some people will call me and say, man of God, if I do this, is it a sin? Stop calling me and asking me what is a sin. Stop sinning. You want to know, okay, if I sin this sin, will I go to heaven? I always tell them, any sin you sin, you go to hell. It's easier to just save the argument. No, how can you ask me and tell me if I drink and don't get drunk, is it a sin? Why are you asking? Because you want to be drinking. The moment you drink and know that you are drunk, you have been drunk 1 hour before you started that thing you think you are drunk. Because when he kicks in, he does not tell you. That's why when someone is getting high, I've not seen, but I've watched movies. When someone is getting high, jokes start coming. Who is cracking it for you? No, who is telling you the jokes? Now, why are you laughing? The jokes will start coming. You now say, I miss the good old days. Just who took you to the good old days? Proverbs said, do not say anything about thinking of the good old days. So, the alcohol is now speaking. That is why Nigeria is so frustrated that someone dies, they drink. Someone is alive, they drink. You give birth to a child, they drink. A child dies, they drink. You go to wedding, they drink. You divorce your wife, they say, let's drink and forget the pain. The road is not repaired. Let's drink and forget what the governor is doing. Some people die, they say, let's drink and forget. It could have been us, they drink. Nigeria drink for everything. You open a new house, they drink. Your house got born, they say, let's drink and forget that you didn't die. We find every reason to celebrate. You even go to party where you are not invited because you want to drink. That is why you can invite 500 guests on your wedding day. On the white wedding, you see only 25. You come to reception, you see 1,500. Who invited them? I'm telling you the gospel truth. Even the takeaway you are giving as gifts, you know it is 100. You gave only 50. When you turn back, it's 20 left. Who took it? Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm teaching you here. There's something about sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Karanoshita Eberedosha. Let's go to Luke 9, verse 23. This is what I want to open you up to. Luke 9, 23. This is where I want to emphasize my teaching on. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must first turn from your selfish ways. Now, give me King James. We're going to work with King James and NLT here, so you better understand. He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, the denying himself means reject your selfishness. Don't think about yourself. You must learn to put others first above every other thing. You must learn to put God first above every other thing. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he actually sacrificed his only son. Because he gave Jesus to the world. But Jesus Christ died for only who? The believers. It's funny, but God gave Jesus to the world. But Jesus did not die for the world. Oh, you don't know. If Jesus, that is where we get it wrong in our message of grace. We preach that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for the world. Then we preach that Jesus died for the whole world. If Jesus died for the whole world, there is no need of us winning our brothers to Christ. And yet, what is happening in them? How can the devil go to USA that he has already conquered and be fighting them? No, just sometimes you need to think humanly. Like, battle you have won, what are you fighting them for already? They are saying, oh, men should marry men. Women should marry women. Even the president of president of United States of America is a homosexual. He's a gay. So if the head is like that, go to Aria. Praise the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? So Luke 9:23, the Bible says you should first of all deny yourself. These are part of the sacrifices. Deny yourself, carry your cross and follow me. Does that make sense? Now, what does it entail for you to deny yourself? Let me borrow you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Now, something is going to happen here. Now, the Bible said I should deny myself. What does it mean? Remember, we are talking about altars here, remember? We're talking about sacrifice under altars. The first thing you must know, in order for you to be an acceptable sacrifice, he said holy and acceptable. Now, if this man's name is David, I don't know, what's your name, sir?
Uche.
Now, this young man's name is Uche. I hope I can use young man for you. Okay. Now, so someone will not meet me on the road and say, why do you call me young man? Now, if this young man's name is Uche, what happened is that the moment he wants to deny himself is that Uche naturally dies. There is nothing about Uche that should exist. The only thing you can see in Uche is the looks of Uche. The spiritualness of Uche dies and Jesus Christ comes in. That is what they are trying to explain to you in the baptism. When you were a child, they say, you do have a baptismal name. What they are actually saying that you have died to that your old self. So if my name is Chukwuemeka, I have died to Chukwuemeka and I'm resurrected as Emmanuel. Is that correct? So in this situation, this brother dies to Uchenna and resurrects as Jesus Christ. Jesus, not the Christ. Resurrect as Jesus. As an image of God the Father. Which means that every thinking he has should be like the Father. That's why the Bible said that be not conformed by the things of this world. Don't allow the pattern of this world to deceive you because you are no longer of this world. The moment you die with Jesus, everything about you changes. That's why I say, if you're a Christian and sinners are still very happy being around you, there's a problem with you. He said, but Jesus walked with sinners. No, he was walking with them and changing their life. You are walking, they are not changing. You are the one emulating them. Let me tell you, if you are here, let me be honest, if you are here and you're a Christian, and people can use the F word around you, you are not a Christian. My wife will tell you, I will slap you. My wife is there, she will tell you. You don't use it around me. You can use the word F, but you don't call it. Why is that? It's not something you are doing intentionally to show that you're a Christian. It's your nature. How many of you can eat grass? It's not your nature to eat grass. So you can't eat it. It's not your nature. If you see a goat eating a human being, something will shock in you. The first thing you say is that this is a bush goat. This is the goat from the forest. That is the first thinking that will come to you. Is the bush goat. Like if you see a pig now eating human being, you'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I mean, it's a dirty thing. It should. But when you see a goat eating human flesh, something is wrong. Because it is not the nature of that goat to feed on that. The nature of the goat is to feed on what? On grasses. And not all certain kind. Because in these grasses, the goats have what they call the jollof grass. The rice and stew grass. You're not the only one that knows how to eat better food. Sometimes you give a goat this food, he eats. The next time you bring it, he says, no. You bring another one, he eats. The next time he says, no, bring the other one. Because sometimes you need to mix jollof and rice. Oh, are they the same? Jollof and rice. No, rice can be rice too. Can be fried rice. So I've won this argument. So now, in order for you... Thank you, Jesus. Can you celebrate Jesus? So in order for you now, in order for you to deny yourself, you must first of all reject everything the world is offering you. There are some doors that are open in your life that are not from God. Very far, not even close to God opening it. That's why sometimes, I love what Daddy Aaron Mosai said. He said, God said, I'm going to open doors to nations to you. Then all of a sudden, he got an invite. He went to meet God. He was so happy that God has answered his prayer. God said, he's going to open doors for me, and God has opened it. He went to God and said, Father, I thank you for the door you have opened. God said, which door? Which door? He said, that the invitation I got from Ghana, I thought you had it. You said you opened door. God said, I didn't open any door. And he waited. There are some offers that will come to you that you jump and enter, you kill yourself. Let me tell you something. In as much as people, you can be called in the fivefold ministry, you might be called a pastor. If you eventually leave your pastoring office and enter as an apostle, you will suffer. Are they calling of God? Yes. But each office has a grace that governs that office. Each office has an altar that speaks over it. If you're an apostle and you wake up one day and say, I'm no longer an apostle, I'm a pastor. You can function as a pastor. You can function as a pastor. You can function as an apostle. As an apostle, you can function as a pastor. But you cannot be in that office. That's why when Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, called himself a teaching prophet, God was upset with him. And God said, you're not a teaching prophet, you're a prophet teaching. Yes, that's the word, prophet teaching. Or you can say prophet teacher. God told him that your main office must come first, which means you are a prophet first, before you become a teacher. You saw what happened to Apostle Paul. Paul became a preacher, then a teacher, then a prophet, then an apostle. Does that make sense? So there's some person that God will move you as a pastor, as an evangelist, then move you as an apostle. There's some person God will move you from an evangelist to an apostle, from an apostle and bring you as a pastor. It doesn't show you're not anointed. It shows that you have exercised that office well enough. There are many faces. I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said God met him and said, you are the one person that have completed the very first of ministry. In many of my servants that I've called, many of them have not completed the one phase of their ministry. Kenneth Hagin completed the five phases of his ministry. I think if we get to heaven, we'll see there are very few. Kenneth Hagin has to rely on the perfect will of God, not the permissive will of God. Most of us, I believe, even I too, we enjoy the permissive will of God, where we beg God, God is saying, go to Sambisa Forest. He said, God, I know you want me to go to Sambisa Forest, but please let me just evangelize in Oka. Even if it's just three members, I'm very okay. Let me just make heaven. Now, that is the permissive will of God. That is not the perfect will of God for you. Does that make sense? We're talking about altar. Is that right? So the Bible said that there is a place in an altar called the sacrifice, where you happen to be the sacrifice. You have to reject everything that is given to you on this earth and follow God. Come, let's go and club. I'm sorry, no matter how much that club, you are feeling that thirst, you want to go and club. You say, no, I'm not clubbing. And your friends are saying, you see, that is when the funny thing happens. Your friends say, really? You that likes Bedu, or what they call it, is it Bedu? You that like Bedu, you of all people that like dancing, you're not clubbing. And he said, I have chosen to follow Christ. They will mock you. Oh, that is when it gets rough. They will mock you. They will laugh at you. When they are playing Christians with certain songs around you, you tell them, please, can you lower the volume? I want to pray. They say, oh, go and pray in that place. I beg. They will raise the volume high. When you are playing a Christian song, they come in, they will supersede with their own. And something in you will want to nod to their own. When you start hearing, something in you will want to just start doing. But you hold yourself because you are knowing that you are no longer of this world. When you keep practicing that thing intentionally, a time comes, it becomes on autopilot. Naturally, your body resents anything that does not glorify God. And let me tell you, there is how if a pastor comes there, you must know he's a pastor. If a prophet walks in, you will know he's a prophet. If an apostle walks in, you will know. If someone that loves the word of God walks in, you will know. If a banker walks in here, how do you know a banker? They are always on suits, but their shoes are very polished. A banker that earns 10,000 can walk in here, you call him the boss. Because what? They dress to be addressed. They look the part. The problem that we have is that because you don't understand what it means to deny yourself, you think that denying yourself means not using good perfume. So that's why you go to the market smelling ugly while preaching the gospel. And people find it hard to hear the gospel you are bringing in. Because you are not modeling the body of Christ very well. I tell you before that if you know you are a believer, wherever you are, if you have one cloth that is so good, rock it till it ends. Look the part. That when you tell someone, God bless you, the person will say, I receive in the name of Jesus. Not God bless you, or God keep your blessing. Does it make sense? There are some of you that you were Christian, you have not died enough. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. He was not just talking to the disciples, he was talking to every one of them that have gathered around him. He said, let him first of all deny himself in order to take up the mantle. See, let me tell you, be careful of what you ask. Don't be saying, man of God, I want to carry your mantle. My brother, even me carrying my mantle, I'm still struggling to carry it. You want to carry it? Man of God, lay hand on me. Let me carry the anointing you carry. What if the anointing I carry means I will never eat meat in my life? Before you carry the mantle of any man, know what that man carries. The sacrifice behind that mantle. Daddy, I want Daddy Umar by his mantle. Umar by pray 6 hours every single morning. Can you stay and pray 6 hours? When you are praying, school fees is coming. Children's school fees is coming. I never marry is coming. My car go break down for road yesterday. There are so many things. It takes discipline to come to that place of God. I want my own mantle to grow, not another person's mantle. But there is something about God. When you hit a track record, he brings a certain man's mantle and deposits it on you. You see, nobody dies and goes to heaven with the mantles. When one soldier dies, the mantle splits. Ah, how I love this God. We are like the snake you hear that you cut off one and two grows. But in the realm of the spirit, when you cut off one head, 1,000 grows back. That is how Christians operate. You kill me, my spirit is split. That is why we saw that in the book of Moses, in the book of Exodus, where Moses split his spirit into how many persons? 70 elders. And I think it was 68 that was present, or 67. And the other ones were in the camp. And the spirit went and met them there. And there was something about the life of Moses. There was something about the altar that Moses carried. Moses carried an altar that made him to be very young. They said, the Bible said that he was so young like a teenager. He was 40, but his bone remained 40 till he got to the age of 120. His bone was still 40. So he enjoyed what they call divine health while walking with God. But when that same mantle, that same altar, that same anointing came upon Joshua, Joshua had the ability to stop the sun. Are you seeing what is happening? The mantle left, because the mantle he received was not the mantle of a prophet, but the mantle of a God. That is the reason why Joshua could speak to the sun, and the sun, not just the sun, he spoke to the day and the day stood still. And God could not do anything about it. It's because there is an altar. They told them that there are giants in the land. He said, no. Yes, indeed there are giants, but we can kill them. That is what they call a good report. Some persons come and say, there are giants, they will kill us. And Caleb and Joshua came and said, yes, that's true, there are giants, but let us move forward. These are men that no longer see themselves as kids. They know they have died to themselves. They know that I die, I perish, I live. They know that there's something that is moving them forward. And the only thing moving them forward is the word of God. So as a Christian, have you died to yourself? Have you denied that pleasure that you give to yourself that you know is ungodly? So people say, man of God, life is boring. I tell you, one of the best things that could happen to any lady here is to marry a man of God. A genuine man of God that knows the calling of God. Let me use that word. Not the one that will beat you and kick you in the house. A genuine man of God. God, I want a God-fearing man. Are you God-fearing? I want a man that knows about the altar of prayer. Do you have an altar of prayer? God is not foolish. He can't take something that is precious and give to you just because you think you're asking. God is wise. There are some times a man of God can come to the house, doesn't want to talk to anybody. Goes to his room, lock his door, and sleep off. You come and say, honey, why? Nobody, leave me alone. You walk out. He's not upset, he's communicating something. Sometimes I could be watching a movie, the Lord will say, leave that movie and go inside the room. Yes! It's so weird. We have denied, you are being controlled by somebody. The Bible said that whatever controls you becomes your God. So if the Holy Ghost is the one leading you, then God is your God. Do you know that the Holy Ghost can compel you? The Bible said that Jesus was what? That Jesus Christ was filled of the Holy Ghost and he was led. He was compelled by the Holy Ghost. The word there is compelled, anakazod, by the Holy Ghost to be tempted of the devil. The Holy Ghost took Jesus and took him to the devil to be tempted. Your prayer is, Father, this temptation make you not come my way. No, Father, give me the wisdom to overcome that temptation. If the temptation no longer comes, you stay one place forever. Yes, you will make heaven, but you won't be happy. So you don't pray and say, Father, take this temptation out of me. Say, give me the wisdom. Give me the wisdom. Jesus never prayed to take it away. He said, Father, Kai, if it is possible. He knew it was possible because he carried the altar of possibilities. In the life of Jesus, nothing is impossible. Even if Jesus Christ lies, it becomes true. If Jesus Christ said that this person is not here, this person will disintegrate, this person will disappear, not just here, will disappear in our minds. He will never exist in our mind because God can't lie. Does it make sense? So even if God lies, it becomes true. God can't die. That is one of the problems that happened. God wanted to redeem man. He wanted you to inherit salvation. He wanted you to inherit his blessings. But there is no way he could do that because a spirit had to die. And the Bible said that he is the father of all spirits. So God cannot die. And God thought deep into eternity. He said, you know what? I will come as a man. And remember, if not because, like I said, God cannot operate on earth until a man invokes. The angel of the Lord came and said, blessed among you women, blah, 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 blah. The Lord wants to speak to you. The Lord wants to conceive. You are blessed. God wants to give you a seed. And this seed will be called Jesus. He said, how can this happen? If Mary said, no, I don't want, the angel will leave and find someone else else. It might be the next generation. Do you know how Mary allowed it? Mary said, let it be done to me according to your word. That word is Jesus. The moment he said it, a seed was planted. The moment you accept anything, it has existed even before the reality comes. So the moment that altar, the altar of that, see, when the messenger comes and speaks, it is not the angel speaking, it's the voice of God speaking. Remember, when Moses saw a burning bush, who was speaking was God, but who was present was an angel of the Lord. It was an angel of fire. It was burning, and the Lord spoke through the fire. Ah, someone say altar. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. There's someone, as I'm speaking now, there's an altar in your family. There's a masquerade that appeared to you this week in less than two times in your vision. That masquerade just fell down now and died. There are altars. Let me show you something about altar that you might not know. Every house has an altar. You like it or you don't like it. Any property you park into that house, there's an altar speaking over that place. The man that built the house might not know there's an altar there. But let me tell you, there's an altar in every land. I remember then in the back in the olden days, when they want to build an altar, they will bury a girl alive to raise an altar. So it is possible to say that when someone dies on this floor, there's an altar open here. Are you afraid? No. I'm not casting fear on you. So the Bible said that you must first deny yourself and take up your cross daily. I love that. That is what people fail to understand. People miss that daily. Many translations do not add daily. That means every single day you wake up, you take what? Your cross. That's why Pastor David Oyedepo says something important. He said you cannot be drunk on the wine of yesterday, today. It will wear out. You must be drunk in the spirit that always. Sometimes when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we begin to drink. That is why when you see sometimes we are worshiping, you see me, my body is moving. Sometimes it's not my body, it's not me willingly wanting to move it. There are dimensions you enter to the spirit. Some persons, the only way for you to know that you are filled up is that you start falling. Some persons start screaming so loud. Some persons start laughing so loud. Some persons start feeling heaviness on their leg. There are dimensions to this drunkenness. Are we getting blessed? There's an altar. First of all, so whenever you talk about altar, that denying, it means you are rejecting everything that you possess. You mean that everything in your life is not for you but for God. Until you come to that understanding, you will be limited in life. Whatever you have in this world, the moment you still believe you have anything to it, look at what Abraham did. And God promised Abraham at the age of 70, I'm going to give you a son. And when Abraham was almost 99 and the son came, and in few minutes, the son you told me, the person you promised that is going to be the generation of the whole world, you are telling me to sacrifice. Some of us will say it's not the voice of God. And Abraham heeded. And Abraham in the spirit went in the spirit and sacrificed Isaac. Killed Isaac, and Isaac died. Before a man makes up his mind to do a thing, he has done it in the spirit realm. You must know this. You must know this. That is why serving God is not a feeling, it's a choice. I want to follow you wherever you are going. I want to follow you. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow you. It's a decision. God did not love us because he fell in love with us. God loves us because he made a decision to love us. Regardless of whatever we want. When you get to heaven, God will not say, which church did you attend? God will ask, who is the center of your heart? Who is in that center of your heart? If it is not Jesus, you are not going anywhere. So you must deny yourself, then you carry your cross. The Bible didn't say carry the cross of Christ. See, when we get to eternity, there will be marks. The thing that, see, whenever you shout, when I meet someone that is sick now and I come close to that person, I say, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Before that demon react, the demon checks my mark. Oh, you don't understand. Oh. The scars. That's why Jesus has a scar as a price of what he paid. He said, touch, see, this is the wound. This is it. This is the mark that I bear for you. I paid the highest price. No demon can appear with a mark on their hand. It's impossible. Only Christ can appear with such. No demon can take the shape of a dove. It's impossible. Only the Holy Ghost can take that shape. Because these people are God. Aye. Does it make sense? That is why when Christ appears, one of the things you will know is that most time he allows you to see the wound on the leg. There is a mark every Christian must bear. Catherine Kuma has to sacrifice marriage. Martha Etta has to sacrifice. Everybody in the family died. Umar has to lose 2 children, I'll be 3. I'm not saying you will lose a child. I'm telling you there is a price to pay. I remember that Daddy Aromosai have to go to the caves to study. For years he left his wife. More than 6 years. Left the ministry he was studying. And he came back and still found his ministry in one piece. There are prices great men are paying. What is the price you are paying for Christ? Even to come to the presence of God to worship is a problem. What is the price you are paying? Does that make sense? I'm not teaching something that will entice you to jump up and shout. Because I'm lecturing your spirit. Luke 14:27. I read this, then tomorrow we'll talk about fire. And whosoever, give me NLT. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. There is a cross to carry, brothers and sisters. There is a price to pay. Don't let anyone deceive you. There is no price to pay. There is a price. Why it is called a price is because it is about you not conforming to this world. It's about you rejecting the things of this world. I've seen a man that has no arms, no legs, but yet he's preaching the gospel. And he's a very renowned pastor. Why didn't he say, Father, grow my leg? Apostle Aaron Mosai could see in the spirit and change things in the spirit. But God told him that this your eye is how it will be. There is a price to pay. There is a mark that people will question. If you are really anointed, then why this mark? We went to the church of a man of God that for 20 years, he has been praying for those who are seeking for the fruit of the womb and they had children for 20 years. They have not conceived. You were there. 20 years. We went to Enugu. It was 7 years. They have prayed for so many persons that they have conceived. For 7 to 9 years, no baby. Then when God blessed, it was twin. You see, there is something about God. That's why I tell you about the grace of speed. You are saying, God, my mates are married. I've been in this marriage for 6 years. No child. But you are still faithful. Your mates have given birth to 2 children. Each of them senior each other with 3 years. When God will give you a baby, it might be on the 9th year and God will give you triplets. What he's saying is that I am God that can restore time. Because that triplet synod each other with 3 years. So what took others 9 years, God give you in a day. That's why he said, can a nation be birthed in one day? Yes, it is possible. A nation can come. So my brother, I ask you, that altar that burns in your life, how fireful is it? There is something about sacrifices. After sacrifices, you get what they call fire. There is a dimension of God that burns. He said, didn't our heart burn as he speak unto us? The word of God is like fire that burns your heart. That's your altar that you have. How fresh is it? When was the last time you came to that place of altar and begin to raise altars? That is why a man must know that he inhabits God. The nature of God goes through you. That's why I tell you that if any man encounter me, your life, I don't care. It is not pride, it's the truth. If you encounter me and your life remains the same, it's because you have not believed. Or you have not done what I told you to do. We went to a lady's shop to pray. We prayed a shop that is barely 4 months. And we went there, we prayed. We said, Father, let that be an extension of this shop. And in less than 4 months, her shop was stopped and she opened a new section. It's the dimension in God. A lady tested me, said, I just started a business right now. Pray for me. I said, it is well. She said, amen. The next day, she got a contract of 2 million. The next day, the double digit is 7 million. There is something you must know about the altar. I was sleeping and that you more might appear to me. And oh, Jesus. And he looked at me. He held hands with me and laid hand on my head and spoke words to me. I've met that you more by, I think, 2 times or 3 or so. But in the realm of the spirit, he's like a frequent visitor. And he began to teach me. He said, Omega, this is how this thing works. This is this dimension I'm bringing you into. This is this. One day I woke up and I said, oh God, I look for a man of God that I respect so much. I sold into the man of God account. I said, Daddy, I just want to say thank you for answering the call of God. And the man said, God will manifest himself through you, Emeka. I met a man of God. I chatted him up. I said, man of God, I want to sow a seed. He said, Emeka, don't do this anymore. The screenshot is there. I said, don't do this anymore. Why do you always keep giving? I said, I love the hunger of soul winning that you carry. And the man said, the Lord is bringing a certain dimension. That altar burns. Don't just have men of God and have their contacts. Know how to sow and connect from their altars. I'm not saying so to me. Anyway, people out there. Sometimes after ministration, sometimes if I come Saturday early, you see me kneeling down here and facing this altar and praying. It's because I know that there is an altar. I carry an altar, but the altar of God carries its own altar. Me, myself, carry my own dimension of grace. The altar of God carries the dimension of grace. That is why someone could come here and drop something on this altar and God answers the prayer. I'm like, God, I don't understand. Is this dimension possible in this ministry? And God is saying, oh yes, there is more to this altar than you know. One day I was speaking to madam here and an angel of the Lord appeared and said, tell her my name is this. I told her and she had an encounter with that angel the next day. The angel, that was the first time an angel of the Lord appeared to me and tell me and said, my name is this, tell her. And I said, I'm sorry, ma. You know, it's weird when you hear certain things from God. You don't know how to. How the person might mock you, look at you like, what is this one saying? How can you tell someone that an angel is standing beside you and the person is not feeling it? See, the reason why some angels can appear around you and you don't sense them is because your altar is not active. See, there are frequencies in the spirit. When an angel walks past here, it's either I perceive the fragrance of that angel or I sense a movement in my heart or my heart pumps. There are ways they speak. The thing is that when they speak to you, you don't understand it. You interpret it carnally. Sometimes your belly makes a sound. You say, probably you are hungry. You are too carnal. At what degree is that altar burning? When was the last time you actually came to a place and fasted dry fasting? When was the last time you did 2 days dry fasting? When was the last time you did 6 to 6 for 3 days? When was the last time you came to the place of prayer and spent 3 hours? When was the last time you charged yourself in the spirit? A man that does incantation will wake up in the morning. You'll be hearing, hey, Baba, Baba, hey, Google, hey, Akakaka, and people will be passing and laughing at him and say, look at this man. He doesn't even know we're a Christian. When will you change Papa Sunday? Papa Sunday looks at you and says, don't worry, I will deal with you. And you are going. The next day, you lose your job. And you come back and meet Papa Sunday. Nothing is working for me. The same Papa Sunday you mock becomes a God to you. And he looks at you and laughs. I say, my son, give me 10,000 naira and the door will be open. That man is building his altar. When you see a man building an altar, making his own his incantation, go to your place of prayer. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. We can be walking and building that altar. What you are doing is that you are charging. There are certain dimensions you cannot operate until your faith is stirred up. Don't be lazy in prayers. Don't be lazy. That is the reason why a man came to a place and ceased rain for 3.5 years and there was no rain. Because the man understood the altar of prayer. What has happened to your altar? You pray today, tomorrow you don't pray again. You are tired. Are you a weakling? Stop raising. If you are a weakling, you will raise children that are weaklings. The only thing your child knows how to do, your child knows the channel to Telemundo. Your child knows the channel to Cartoon Network. But your child does not know the channel to the spiritual realm. That is why when you are on the ground, instead of a child that is trained in the spirit to lay hand and start saying, the child is saying, mommy, wake up, because he does not understand mystery. You have not built the altar. That is why a child, somebody can be 80 years old, but in the realm of the spirit is 150 years old. The man, the lady has become a grandmaster. You call yourself a Christian, you pray in tongues, and yet your child cannot pray in tongues. Your child is 10 years old and don't even know what tongues is. You are failing our generation. Christianity is not sanity, it's madness. Madness in the things of God. When was the last time you prayed and you hold the door and that door almost broke? You have not prayed. When was the last time? Tell me. It's a question. Tell me. Stand up and tell me. The only day was the last time you spent 3 hours in prayer. Tell me. When was the last time? and you want God to move. That is the reason why we train a weak generation that depends on prophets. Every time, man of God pray, what is happening to your altar? You don't even know how to raise one. You can stand here, you begin to ascend in the spirit. And we're a place in the spirit where mantles are being given. There are dimensions you read and things begin to make easy. There are certain doors you can't access until your fire burns at a certain degree. Hate yourself and hate weakness. You said you are going to fast 6 to 6. Only meat pie broke your fasting. Fanta break your fasting. Coke break your fasting. Even when God has permitted you to even take water while fasting, you pass something, shawarma broke the fasting. It's how materialistic you are. If every time you said, I'm going to fast, and one little 15 or something breaks your fasting, shame on you. We are tired of raising generations that are weak. I might not have the grace to raise the dead, but someone among you here might have that grace. I might have the grace to raise the dead, but might not have the grace to open blind eyes. But someone here has that grace. You must wake up. Enough of I don't have time. If you don't have time, pray while walking. That is why you are cooking food. And while you are cooking, you begin to it has happened to me so much that when I sit in my office, while editing videos of the ministry, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You see, God said fellowship. See, don't say I don't have time. God gave you 24 hours to worship Him and serve Him. 24 hours. That's why Daddy Umar Bai said that a Christian that cannot pray 2.4 minutes, that is 2 hours, 40 minutes a day, is a weak Christian. And Daddy Aromo Sai said that if you're a Christian here, if you are above 20 years, and you have never prayed 6 hours in tongue, your life is a joke. My brother, honestly, is a joke. What are you busy for? You are busy, you are still not a billionaire. Useless busy. What are you deceiving yourself for? We have not come to that place of prayer. We have left that altar to be weak. That altar has gone dry. The reason why I can't pray is because I can't walk. If God could fix this leg, ignore the leg. There are men that are crippled that serve God. That thing you are bothered about, God might have said that is the mark you will carry to show people that I am the one that called you. He said, on whose sin was this man made crippled? He said that so that the name of the Lord shall be glorified. You are the reason why God should be glorified. You must learn to build an altar. The reason why your family, man of God, nothing is working. The devil can sit one place and say, I'm closing the gate, and the gate will close, and everyone in the family begins to suffer. What is Christianity? Christianity is not coming out and saying, I'm a Christian, I'm going to church. Christianity is a man that knows what altar is. When you walk, let it be a living altar of God that is moving. We come to the church now. Even some pastors now are afraid of inviting people. You are a pastor, I'm a pastor, but I'm afraid of inviting you because I don't know the altar you carry. Because I can't dip myself in the place of prayer to find the mysteries of your altars. If you're a false prophet, invite me to your church. When I leave that church, you will tell me what happened to your altar. If you're a false prophet, invite me. I'll come. Invite me, I'll come. That when you accept the Lord said I shouldn't go, I will climb that stage. Let's see which altar is greater than the altar. When I am done preaching that day, if I am leaving, you will lose all your members. I will break even the spell you put in their eyes. That is why they don't invite us. We are young and we are vibrant. Your youthful age is what are you doing for? How many minutes do you spend a day on WhatsApp? How many minutes do you spend on Facebook? What have you done that you can be thrown? What if they call you out, what is that one thing that God can say I'm grateful that you are doing? Raise an altar tonight. You must raise an altar. Stop being weak. Today you are having typhoid, tomorrow you are having malaria, tomorrow you are having fever, next tomorrow you are having diarrhea. Not only do the devil remember, feel that edge around you. Now we'll be around. You and ask God to build an edge over your life. Bring the Holy Ghost. Raised you as the key to that family.
Holy fire, holy fire, oh.
Holy fire, God upon my altar.
I want you to reject ordinarity. Father, I refuse to be ordinary. A child is 8 years old, but in the realm of the spirit, that child is a grandmaster. A child is 8 years old, but in the realm of the spirit, the child is a grandmaster. You are 25 years old. You have not even entered degree in the realm of the spirituality. You have not even entered degree in the realm of the spirit. You are a novice in the things of God. Begin to raise that altar. Whatever altar that stands against your family, today you stand on an altar that is higher than other altars, and you begin to raise war against that altar.
Holy Father,
Raise that altar, oh Jesus.
Vina mama mama mama. Bejali la pila soma. Ejebedemene debele demene debele demene debele getabana kaya. Shambam bamba tukuvia side. Esidie tedelia. Etedelia tedelia tadia kabala kumana diadela. E mama mama mome. Shama mama mami koti da kadada. Libi de 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 de. Over my altar, Yahweh.
The Lord said, He said, my altar shall be a house of prayer. My house shall be a house of prayer. One of the keys to raising altars is a place of prayer. A man that burns with the fire of the Holy Ghost, a man that prays in the Spirit, is raising altar.
We pray, we answer. Yeah. Oh, oh.
Holy fire,
holy
fire.
Solo be a daga da 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 da
da
da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da. We come back to as I do,
holy fire.
Let us stand, pray. Let us stand, pray. Can we pray some more? Let us stand, pray. Let us stand, pray. Let us stand, pray. Just in the spirit. Just in the spirit. In the spirit. Ruvavaita manazome zome mia zaita zaita di de 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 deiga. Ifa mami nanta ikudali aden ayajadani adeyu no mu. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus.
Holy fire born upon my altar.
Listen. Say, Lord, against any altar.
Against any altar.
Speaking over my family.
Speaking over my family.
Speaking over my life.
Speaking over my life.
Speaking over my destiny. Any generational altar. Prophesying over my destiny. Prophesying over my career. Prophesying over my marriage. Prophesying over my destiny. I take authority in the name of Jesus. I break them. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to see yourself destroying those altars. Let the altar of Jesus, let the altar of the blood of Jesus begin to speak for you right now. Son of God, pray.
Fire everywhere over my altar.
Now you are here. Now you are here. Now you are here.
Shalada.